I'm glad to be here this morning with you all. Glad to be the one to bring the message of this last series of the Summer of Psalms, the songs of our lives. Thanks for reading the passage, Amika. So the other morning, I went out to the garden and just to pick flowers. We have a flower business. Our daughter does this, and every morning, pretty much, except for Sundays, I go out to pick sweet peas and make bouquets. So it was this perfect, beautiful morning. The sun was shining, no clouds in the sky, which was very rare this summer, and the birds were singing. There was this light breeze, and I was just praising God for the beauty of his creation, for the beauty of the flowers and the variety of colors and shapes and sizes. But then I started weeding. That needed to be done as well. And the sun was getting hot. It was beating down on my back, and I was starting to sweat. The mosquitoes were buzzing around my face and neck, and I was getting really irritated by the birds that kept singing the saying the same thing over and over again. Have you ever heard crows cawing constantly? So anyways, I was picking these weeds, and my back was starting to hurt. The thistle prickles were going through my gloves, and I didn't feel like praising God much anymore. And isn't that how it goes? We're pretty fickle creatures. Once we're praising God, and then the next minute, we're not. We're more complaining about things. But this psalm is about praising God no matter what, because God is God, and he doesn't change. Though our circumstances change, God doesn't, and he is always worthy of our praises. And you might be thinking, well, if you knew what my week was like or the kinds of things that I'm dealing with, you wouldn't be telling me that I need to praise God all the time. But that is what this psalm is about, that God is worthy of our praises no matter what. So we're going to look at this psalm in a little more detail. Psalm 146 is the first of five praise psalms. So there are 150 psalms, so the last five are these praise psalms. And they were probably written about the time after the nation of Israel returned to their own land from exile in Babylon. They knew that the reason that they were in exile, in captivity in Babylon, was because they had worshipped other gods besides Yahweh, or God. And this was their punishment. But at this time, God was returning them to their land. They were going to be able to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. They were going to rebuild the temple, and they were going to reestablish the nation of Israel. And this psalm was then written to praise God for all he had done to work it out that they were returning to their own land. Now, the psalmist is helping us as well to turn our hearts, our very souls, to God. And he begins the psalm by saying, praise the Lord, O my soul. And then in verses 3 and 4, he says, don't put your trust in princes, in human beings. They're not going to be able to save you. They're going to die, and when they do, their plans will come to nothing. So human beings are powerless to save us. The Old Testament word for that word, save, has the whole connotation of salvation or deliverance or victory. And only God is the one who can save us. Only God is the one who can deliver us and give us victory over sin and death. And then the psalmist continues in verse 5, blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord their God. So our hope rests in the Lord alone. He is worthy of our praises. So we are created to praise and worship God. So we're going to talk this morning about, first of all, why we should praise God, and then how we can praise God. So first, why should we praise God? Well, for two reasons. Because of the greatness of God's power and because of the greatness of his promises. First, because of the greatness of his power as seen in creation. God created everything out of nothing, just by saying the word. Now that's a lot of power. Verse 6 says, he is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, and he remains faithful forever. And the beauty of creation speaks to the greatness of God's power. When you think about it, the variety, like I was mentioning about in the garden. How many of you have a garden here? Vegetables or flowers? Some of you, aren't you just blown away that when you put a seed in the ground, you can pull out bright red or beets or orange carrots? When you think about you put seeds in the ground for flowers and they come out in a total variety of different colors and shapes and sizes. And who has been to the mountains lately? Aren't you blown away by the beauty of God's creation that we can see around us? Another reason to praise God is for his power is because God also extends his power to us. We also receive God's power when we have the Holy Spirit in us. Maybe not to create things out of nothing, but to do what God calls us to do. Look at Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Did you get that? Did you understand that? This is really incredible. Now to him, to God, who is able to do immeasurably more than we can even ask or imagine, according to his power that's work within us. So after the resurrection of Jesus, he sent his Holy Spirit to us to fill us with his power. Think of it this way. When I drive my car, it's got a pretty powerful engine. It can go for hours on end at 110 kilometers an hour. Let's say we're driving to Jasper. In 4 hours, it can just keep on going. I would never be able to run that far or that fast for that long. But when I'm in the car, the power of the car becomes mine. The abilities of the car become mine. And so, to a different sense, it's also the same with God, that God fills us with his Spirit, and God's power becomes our power. God's ability becomes our abilities. And we are given things to do that he will empower us to do. And I'm going to get back to this later, so just hang on to this nugget of thought. But no matter what, God is worthy of our praises. Another reason that we should praise God is because of the greatness of his promises. God, what God has promised, he will surely bring to pass. He will do what he has promised to do. And now in this psalm, as we heard earlier, there is a whole list of the promises of God. No matter what, God is worthy of our praises. So let's look at these promises of God. We'll go through them rather quickly because there's quite a number of them. In verse 7, it says, he upholds the cause of the oppressed. God delivered the people of Israel from their captors in Babylon and brought them back to their own land. God also delivers us from oppression, from sin, from evil. And sometimes we feel helpless against the stuff that is happening in our lives, but we can be assured that God sees it and knows it all and is always with us, strengthening us and encouraging us through it. God will never leave us or forsake us. Another promise in verse 7, he gives food to the hungry. Maybe the psalmist is thinking about the time of exile, the years in Babylon, that God provided food for them. And Jesus also taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, which we prayed earlier, give us this day our daily bread. We don't need to pray further than that, than just our daily bread. God will provide what we need each day. And God also supplies spiritual food for us. When you're feeling discouraged or down, go to the scriptures. You will find words of encouragement and support for you. God is there. He always provides what you need. No matter what, God is worthy of our praises. Verse 7 also says, he sets the prisoners free. And yes, he delivered Israel from her captors, and he does the same for us. He sets us free from a life that is broken, or a life that is lost from him, or from things that keep us captive, such as wounds from the past, such as addiction, such as oppression by evil spirits. Jesus can and will set us free from those things. No matter what, God is worthy of our praises. Verse 8, he gives sight to the blind. Oftentimes we think about this as a physical thing. And Jesus throughout his ministry did just that. He touched people who were blind and he gave them their sight. But there is also a greater darkness that many people live in, and that's spiritual darkness. The enemy, Satan, wants to keep all of us in darkness, believing lies and being blind to the promises of God. But we can be brought out of spiritual blindness into the light of Christ and get to know really who Christ is and what he has done for us. Verse 8 also says he lifts up those who are bowed down. The idea here is that God lifts burdens from the backs of weary ones. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Oftentimes, we carry burdens that aren't really ours to carry, and taking responsibility for other people's actions on our shoulders. We need to give those to Jesus, give those burdens to him. Just a while ago, I was really bothered by a relationship with a friend that wasn't going the way I wanted it to go. And I was laying awake at night thinking about this. And so I thought, well, I may as well just get up because I'm not falling asleep anyway. So I grabbed my journal and some pens, went to a different room, and just wrote all this out to Jesus. Lord, about this and about that. And I said, Lord Jesus, would you just take this from me and please help me to adjust my expectations of this person because I can't go on like this. And just laid that burden at Jesus' feet, went back to bed, and peacefully fell asleep. Jesus wants to take burdens from us. No matter what, God is worthy of our praises. Verse 8 also says that he loves the righteous. God has a special place in his heart for those who are in a right relationship with him. And he tells us that nothing can ever separate that bond that ties us together with him. He loves us even when we're unlovable. He loves us even though we fail at times. He loves us even through our foolishness. He loves us unconditionally, completely and eternally. No matter what, God is worthy of our praises. Verse 9 says, God watches over the foreigner. Or in another translation, it says, he safeguards the strangers. The psalmist even praises the Lord because he watches out for those who were not even part of the nation of Israel. That is God's grace. God is concerned about the needs of immigrants, of refugees, of foreigners in our city, in our country. Verse 9, he sustains the fatherless and the widow. The most disadvantaged members of society are always the focus of God's watchful care and his protection. God's always caring for them. And when you and I are suffering one way or another, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, we can trust God to sustain us and encourage us. His grace is evident in our lives. He's worthy of our praises. Amen. So now we're going to go on to how we can praise God. Well, first of all, we need to keep our eyes focused on God. We need to keep our eyes focused on the greatness of his power and on the greatness of his promises. Let's do a little exercise here. I want you to, for the next, 10, 15 seconds, just look around the room and look for people who are wearing the color blue, such as Peter's shirt there in the front. Look around for three people who are wearing the color blue, okay? Okay, now I want you to close your eyes. Close your eyes. And now I want you to bring to your mind three people who are wearing the color or the non-color white. Well, white. White isn't really a color. But I'm saying, look for people who are white. And close your eyes, Peter. Close your eyes. Don't look around. I want you to just think of three people who are wearing white. All right, you can open your eyes again. You see, when we focus on something, that's what we're going to think about. You were focusing on blue, but I was asking you to think of white after. When we focus on our troubles, on the things that are going wrong in our lives, then that's what we're going to think of. But when we keep our eyes focused on God and God's greatness, the greatness of his power and of his promises, you will remember that. Another way to cultivate a life of praising God is to see Jesus as the one who fulfills these promises. So, this is really very interesting. These promises that are listed in Psalm 146 are also listed elsewhere in the Bible. Luke 4, verse 17 to 19. This is a story about Jesus when he went to the synagogue, as was his custom, on a Saturday morning, and he was given the scroll to read for that day. And this was the beginning of his public ministry. He opened the scroll to a passage in Isaiah, Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2. And this is what it says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners and the recovery of sight to the blind and to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Does that sound familiar to you? Are these the same promises that are listed here in this psalm? Jesus, while he was on earth, he proclaimed the good news that he was the Savior, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one will come to the Father except through him. He came to proclaim freedom for captives and to set the prisoners free. John 8, verse 36, this is what he says. If the Son has set you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus set people free from captivity to evil spirits, from captivity to their old way of life, and he showed them a new way to live. He gave sight to the blind and the spiritually blind. And you know what? Jesus still does that today. And you may say, well, we see so much injustice in the world today. We see people who are oppressed and they aren't being lifted up. We see children as young as 9 caught in the textile industry in countries like Cambodia and Vietnam and Bangladesh, working long hours for a pittance just so that we can buy cheap clothing. There are so many people who are starving in different places of the world. The United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, the FAO, estimates that there are 815 million people of the 7.6 billion people in the world, that is just over 10%, who are suffering because of chronic undernourishment. The FAO estimates that there are as many as 25,000 people who die each day because they don't have enough food. Wow. We see foreigners, immigrants, First Nations people who are not treated well, who are the victims of racism. We say, they're not being lifted up. And you might be thinking, why doesn't God do more? It doesn't look like he's keeping his promises. Wow. How many of you know the song, Do Something? I think it's Matthew West, Do Something. It's one person? Two? I don't know the whole lyrics, but maybe one day we'll sing it here. He's crying out to God in this song, saying, God, why don't you do something? And you know what the answer is? God says, I created you. I created you. So that brings me to my next point. We are called to be like Christ, like what Jesus did when he was here on earth. How do we praise God? What is a response to the God who saves us, but to be the hands and feet and voice of Jesus? And it may seem as a surprise to you, but have you considered that it's through you, through us, God's church, that he works out his promises? God has a plan to bring justice, to feed the hungry, to set the oppressed free, and it's through us. Our response to God in what he has done for us is to be like Christ to others. Jesus calls us out to be his hands and feet in a suffering world. No matter what, God is worthy of our praises. Maybe at this point you're thinking, really? You know, I just wish God would just do it with his miraculous power and just leave us to live our lives the way we want to live our own lives. But the thing is, God has chosen to do it this way. He has chosen us because he wants a relationship with each one of us. I don't want you to be overwhelmed or over-concerned about this, because really, it's a wonderful thing that God is calling us to work together with him. And he gives us the power, just like I mentioned earlier about, remember the analogy of the car? He gives us his spirit in us to give us the power, to give us the gifts that we need. Jesus said, Acts 1 verse 8, wait until you have been clothed with power from on high, and that's the Holy Spirit, and then go and be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus is sending us out, not in our own strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of God John 14 said, Verse 12, Jesus says this, "Very truly, I say to you," and when Jesus starts something with very truly or truly, truly, we need to perk up our ears and listen. This is what he says. "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." No matter what, God is worthy of our praises. And then the praise of God begins to change us and shape us. Jesus focused on the weak and the vulnerable, the oppressed, to bring people from darkness into the light. And we also need to do that. We can also work to help right wrongs, to fight against injustice, to fight against racism, to bring shalom or peace where people are in right relationship with each other and with God and with the creation. We can do our part to bring justice, to feed the poor and the hungry. We're going to look now at the last verse of this psalm, verse 10. "The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations, praise the Lord." God is God forever, and he will reign forever. He will forever be worthy of our praises. His promises stand forever, and his people, his church, will be preserved forever. But there's one last thing that I want to point out to you. This is really incredible. Jesus, when he was reading from that scroll in that synagogue in Nazareth that morning, he stopped in the last sentence. He didn't finish reading the sentence. I just want to point this out. In that passage in Isaiah, it goes like this, in Isaiah 61, verse 2, that he came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and to proclaim the day of vengeance of our God. Jesus stopped before he read to proclaim the day of vengeance for our God. He did not read that. You see, Jesus didn't come to bring the vengeance of God. He came to bear the vengeance of God upon himself when he was hanging on the cross. He came for us to bear our sins. He took upon himself the punishment that we deserved when he died. And the story doesn't end there. He rose again from the dead and he ascended into heaven and he has total victory over sin and death and hell. And as that endless expanse of eternity unfolds for our eyes, we will forever lift our voices in praise to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. We will forever declare that he is worthy no matter what. Amen. I just want to give you three applications just to think about this coming week and beyond, I hope. Remember to praise God for the greatness of his power that you can see in creation, that you can see in his promises. Second, remember to focus on God and the greatness of his promises. And third, remember to turn to God in prayer, to ask him to show you the opportunities that he is calling you to be his hands and feet. You know, this is really, really important because we can become totally overwhelmed and burnt out by doing things that maybe God isn't calling us to do. And then it just becomes a burden that we're carrying and we become resentful. Let the Holy Spirit guide you into where You are to get involved where He is calling you to be His hands and feet to fulfill those promises. There's just a few things that we can do quite easily to help in that area of child labor in textile factories. Please check the labels where things are made. If it's made in Cambodia, Bangladesh, Vietnam, those kind of places where they employ children to work in factories, please don't buy it. And get educated about what is happening in these types of factories and tell others. You could support the Canadian Food Grains Bank if you want to help out with world hunger. These are farmers who give a portion of their harvest every year to other countries where there is not enough food. The love offering was for them a couple months ago, if you remember. Speak out against injustice. Sign petitions, write letters to MPs, MLAs. Support a child through Compassion Canada or through World Vision. Support a family through World Renew. There are so many ways that we can help, that we can be like Christ to others. I want you to all stand right now, and we're going to say together the words, no matter what, God is worthy of our praises. Okay? All together, no matter what, God is worthy of our praises. Let's pray. You can just remain standing while we pray. Lord, our Father, we want to give you praise for who you are, for your majesty and for your holiness, for your great power as shown in creation and through your promises. Help us to live lives that reflect your glory, to live lives of praise to you. Help us to keep our eyes focused on you and to remember the promises that you have made to us and also to the world. Help us to respond to your grace in our lives by being the hands and feet and voices of Jesus to people we meet. Show us the opportunities that you want us to get involved in. And help us to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit in us to do what you are calling us to do. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says together, Amen.